Good morning. I want to thank everyone for being here today. And it was pretty good to see all the brothers and the sisters and fellowshipping, speaking, talking, sharing, laughing. Kind of reminded me of a story. Seemed this preacher had to have all of his teeth taken out. The first week back into the pulpit, he preached for 8 minutes. The next week, he only preached for 10 minutes. The third week, he preached for 2 hours and 18 minutes, and the men had to jump up and wrestle him off the pulpit. They said, "Brother, what happened? 3 weeks ago, you only preached for 8 minutes, and last week, you preached for 10 minutes, and this week, you was up here for 2 hours and 18 minutes. What happened?" He said, "Well, the first week, after having my teeth out, my gums were so sore I could only speak for 8 minutes. The second week, my new dentures, they hurt my gums so bad I could only preach for 10 minutes. "Well, what happened today?" He said, "Well, I was in a hurry, running late, and I grabbed my wife's dentures and I couldn't shut up." I hope the women were not offended. The title for the lesson this morning is Unfinished Business, but I think also if you noticed in the bulletin, this talks about racism and justice. And I believe that is unfinished business. You know, we are living in very turbulent times, and I think everyone would agree with that. Throughout the world, things are happening, things are taking place that really terrifies us. It kind of reminds me of the Charles Dickens book, The Tale of Two Cities. If you've ever read that book, at the very beginning, it says it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. And I believe today that there are good times, but there's also some very bad times. Over the course of my life and everyone else here, we have witnessed so many advances in our lifetime, medical advances. I know there are several of us here that's had open heart surgery. 50, 60 years ago, probably would have died. We can see that also we have a lot of technological advances, educational advances. Probably some here have a personal computer. Some of us have cell phones. These things back in the 60s and the early 70s were virtually unheard of. But yet today they're very commonplace. However, with all of these advancements that we have gained in our lifetime, I believe that we are digressing morally. And part of the moral digression deals with racism and injustice. You know, many throw out racism and injustice. They throw it around literally to suit their own personal agenda. If you do not accept my opinion, then you're a racist and you're unjust. And that's on both sides. Part of that, again, deals with the fact that the world is full of racism and injustice. But you know the sad thing is, it's in the Lord's church also. The purpose of this lesson this morning is to help us to love justice. Because if we truly love justice, it will eliminate racism. And I don't want you taking my word for it. We're going to look at quite a few scriptures this morning. Because I can give my opinion, but it makes no difference what my opinion is. It's what God's Word says. First of all, let's notice Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 15. Moses writes, "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment." In other words, don't pronounce injustice. "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty." But you know what? The world today is literally not obeying what Moses is talking about here. If you're mighty and in power, then you have great honor. And they demand honor. The poor should be in their place. Isn't that right? Notice here, the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor. Not because he's poor or wealthy, but because of him being or she being a human created in the image of God. Then look at Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 20. Again, Moses writes, "That which is altogether just, thou shalt follow." That's pretty good advice. "That which is altogether just, thou shalt follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Speaking to the Israelites. When it talks about just, it's morally right. Equality. That which is altogether right and equal, thou shalt follow. And the equal and the following is God's Word. Not my opinion. Not this person's over here's opinion or over there's opinion. But what God's Word proclaims. Then we can see in Deuteronomy 27, verse 19. "Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger." That's kind of interesting, isn't it? "Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen." That word there in the Hebrew literally means moral deflection. If you look at this, "Cursed be he that perverteth," those who deflect judgment away from the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. In other words, in your judgment, be righteous. Do not pervert God's Word to suit your agenda. And then we can read in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly," justice, "and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." How many of us today walk such as this? How many of us do what is good, what is right? How many of us do those things that the Lord requires of us? Are we just in our speech? Are we just in our lifestyle? Do we love? Do we show mercy? And then we notice in Psalms 106 and verse 3, "Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doth righteousness at all times." Literally, what is being talked about here is that every day we are to keep judgment and righteousness in hand. Not bring it out when we think it's necessary. It's not that we give judgment and show righteousness to those who agree with us and those that we like, but withhold righteousness and judgment from those who disagree with us and those that perhaps we don't like. But you know what? There's not a Christian alive that should hate or not like. We're commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. Where in that phrase does it say, love thy neighbor only if they agree with you? It doesn't. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Every day. Not when we feel like it. And I think that's important for us to remember. Then we can go on and read in Psalms 33 and verse 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. He loveth righteousness and judgment. Our Father in heaven loves righteousness and judgment. Should we not also love righteousness and judgment? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And it's up to us to show the world the goodness of the Lord through our lives. And then we can look at Proverbs 21 and verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to God, to the Lord, than sacrifice. That's something that we need to grasp and take hold of. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable in the Lord than sacrifice. You know, back in the Hebrew days, they offered physical animal sacrifices. And they made other sacrifices also. And they believed that as long as they made that sacrifice, that it made no difference how they lived. But Solomon is saying, that's not so. Doing justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord. It's how we treat other people. It's how we as Christians look at other people. It's how we show the world God's justice and His judgment by living our lives as the light of the world. That's more acceptable than the sacrifice. Then we can read Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such are as the appointed to destruction. In other words, don't keep quiet. How many of us literally speak out about abortion? Oh yeah, we talk about it with our friends. But how many of us, when we decide on who we're going to vote for in whatever election you want to look at, how many of us look and see, maybe even ask questions of the person that's running? How do you stand on abortion? Abortion is not right in the sight of God. That unborn child cannot speak. We have to be the mouthpiece for that unborn child. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all. such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. That's something that we should be doing. Speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Then Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 17. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Justice. Mercy. Learn to do well. You know, that takes effort, doesn't it? Learning something takes some time. It takes effort. But it's something that we, as God's children, must do. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Defend those who are falsely accused. Literally is what's being talked about here. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Can you imagine someone going and stealing a sheep and then taking that stolen animal to be sacrificed to God? Do you think God's going to accept that? For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, doing what is right. That's what Isaiah is talking about. Doing that which is right in the sight of God, regardless of what others might have to say. And then we can look in Hosea chapter 12, verse 6. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. God shows us how to be merciful and just, doesn't He? Doesn't God show us how to be merciful and just? Was not God merciful to us sinners because He sent His Son to die on the cross? Did He not show justice? Did He not demand justice? And then finally, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of men and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. This is how most in the world is today. You know, they are very clean and wholesome on the outside. Look at me. Look at all that I've done. Look how I help. Look at what... But you know, most people like that help, it's only because they want something out of it. Most of the world today on the outside is clean and wholesome, but on the inside they are corrupt and full of dead men's bones. That's hearing the Word of God here. These 12 scriptures that we've looked at is literally hearing what the Word of God says about justice. But how do we put that into practice? How do we practice God's Word? Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 2. And I appreciate Brother Mike reading verses 1 through 4. James chapter 2, I want to start reading in verse 1 all the way through verse 9. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of person. Racism. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. That's being judgmental. Judgment. The first part of it was racism. The second part is judgment. But notice what he says, he goes on. Are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law, according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Did you hear what James said? That's the royal law. That's the royal law, to love thy neighbor as thyself. If we truly love our neighbor, then we don't care if they're rich, poor, or middle class. It makes no difference. He goes on in verse 9, but if you have respect to persons, racism again, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? If we have respect of persons, we commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. Racism has no part or place in a Christian's life. The problem with some is that they are not pushing judgment. They're pushing their own agenda. A man by the name of Martin Niemöller, if I pronounce his name right, he lived from 1892 to 1984. This man spent 7 years in a concentration camp, and he stated these words. He said, first they came for the socialist. I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist. I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews. I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. But then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. We need to proclaim God's words. Have you considered how dark these times, that even though they are so dark, that they might actually be open doors for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Notice, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. This is Paul. And I believe he was speaking about the adventure he was going to have going to Ephesus. A great door and effectual is open unto me. He's seen it as a great opportunity, but he knew that there was going to be many adversaries. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. And then Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's our job, brothers and sisters, as Christians. Our job is to shine as lights in this world. We cannot sit behind closed doors and expect the world to change. The world is on a slippery slope, and it's up to us to stretch out our hand and show them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. While many people feel overwhelmed by hopelessness, by all of the injustices, all of the hatred, and all the racism in our society today, you know what I see? Just as Paul, I see an open door to allow the light of the gospel to be more clearly seen and understood. You know, while we really cannot control the way the world lives, we can control the life that we have in the kingdom. And I would hope that our life reflects love and true justice, and not racism and injustice. The lesson is yours. Jesus came to this earth. He shed His blood. He died on the cross so that you might have the forgiveness of sin. If you wish to be baptized this morning,